What is self? What is self? What is self? What's up with y'all? How y'all doing? This AC, this What is Self? This episode 5. We here again talking about self, man. Today we talking about what is it mean to be self-made, y'all. What does that mean? You know what I mean? Last week we was talking about self-reflection. We got in deep with Luke Boxing. You know, we got a good time to kick it in with him. We was chopping it up for a minute. I appreciate y'all checking everything out, keeping it up with me. Hope y'all staying tuned and sending comments. Keep y'all feedback coming. I want to welcome y'all to my special guest today, my special host. It's Splash Gang Original.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Y'all know me by Jamaican artist, Splash Gang Original.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Know, I made art cool in Oakland. I can say that. You know what I mean?
Man, he been doing this thing for a long time. I had a chance to check him out a few years ago. I seen him doing this thing, and I just been seeing him building, keeping it going, man. That's one thing that I really always take notice to is when a person is consistent. And that's one thing I can say about Jamaica the artist. He keep things official, and you know, they always up to par with the art. He got new flavors and new styles and new things out there for y'all to check out. Y'all go see his IG page, that's Splash Gang Original. We're going to talk about self-made today, though, man. Well, you know, it's really cool to think about that right there, because a lot of people say that, right? I hear people say being self-made.
Yeah, self-made.
Like, I'm self-made, or that nigga self-made, you know, they did that on their own or whatever that means, right? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to connect that with our self-fact for the day. The self-fact of the day is that you overestimate your reactions to future events. And that's whether they're good or bad. I don't know if you knew that. You know what I mean?
It could be both. It could be both.
It could be both, for sure. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to do an experiment. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, right? 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. How happy are you right now?
I said 8.
An 8, okay. Yeah, he's feeling pretty good. That's cool. I probably give myself an 8. You know what I mean? An 8 at least. Yeah, I'm feeling good, too. So, write that number down. We're going to just pretend we wrote it down. Boom. We're going to lock that in. 8. Now, imagine today you win the lottery. You now have more money than you ever thought you would. You have millions and millions of dollars. At the end of today, what would your happiness rating be?
For sure, 10.
For sure, 10. He didn't let me feel. He had it. For sure, 10. You see what I'm saying?
For sure, I have a 10 ringing hard.
That's crazy. See how he's anticipating.
Pushing at 11.
He's anticipating his reaction to this future event. He said he would be push it at 11.
Yeah, because you know it's coming.
You know you got $1 million at the end of the day. How you going to feel out there? How y'all going to feel? Because if I know I got millions and millions of dollars, I know that for sure. End of the day, I know that's the end of the day. Yeah, I'm at a 12 or 11, like you said. You know, I'm up there. So now we're going to lock that number in. We was at an 8, right, starting off. Now if we know we got money coming, we way past happiness. Now we're going to lock that in. What about 2 years from now? What would be your happiness rating 2 years from now if you win millions and millions of dollars today?
It should be at a 15.
2 years from now, it'll be
Hell
at a 15?
Yeah, it better be.
Okay. That's interesting. So he said so what's interesting, y'all, I don't know if y'all even pay attention to that. Not only did he say he'll still be happy, he said that if you notice, his numbers just increased. I mean, he went from an 8 to an 11. That he went up by 3 numbers. Then he went from 11 to 15 in 2 years. So he feels like millions and millions of dollars will equate to him being extremely happy in the future. And I mean, I'm trying to think for myself in 2 years. You know what I mean? If I know I'm going to win millions and millions of dollars today, how am I feeling in 2 years? I mean, I want to say at least a 13, right? I want to say, I don't even know if it goes up, but 12 or 13. I want to say I'm definitely happy, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm going to make the right choices to keep myself in a position of stability or, you know, being able to produce some stuff for people that I want.
It comes with structure, right? It comes with a lot of structure.
If you like, what's that mean?
If you know how to structure yourself, like, let's say we was all young, right? We didn't have the outfit that we wanted, right?
Yeah.
So what did you have to do to get them shoes?
Me, shit, I had to get good grades, or depending on what age, I had to talk to a girl and see if she could buy it for me.
But it's all about the structure.
Why hustle?
Yeah, whatever structure, age range, or peer range
something.
You at.
You had to
so it's a structure.
Something.
So when you was 6 or 7 to 8 years old, you had moms and pops.
I had to ask moms.
But when you 9, 10, 11, you damn near got that way of.
You could put something together.
You put something together with your partner.
Yep.
You can hustle your other
or
partner.
Your brother, OG, maybe your cousin.
Get $5.
Me and your cousin go half on some shoes.
Yeah, now when you 12, 13, 14, you got
some own money.
You like, okay, you kind of lightweight. Talking a little girl, you coming up with a little ways. You trying to get
you're
a
trying
job.
To hustle, you trying to work. You thinking more, you can produce it yourself.
Yeah, it's what you putting yourself to the table to do. So it's like, whatever you apply yourself is basically what I'm getting to. You know, we all have different experiences, right? So when I was that age, I wasn't thinking about, like, working nobody else. I wanted to get a job.
When you was 13?
Hell yeah. I was exactly. 14 years old with three jobs.
What was you doing at 14?
I had a job at Erin Jones. I was working at Hot Dog on the Stick. And I was working at the mall.
What was you doing? Hold on. You was, like, in the back? You was a
Hot
cook?
Dog on the Stick?
On the Erin Jones. Yeah, a lot of people in the Bay Area, they know about Erin Jones. It's changed, but it used to be a classic.
My sister is related to the family.
Okay. Shout out to Erin Jones.
Yeah, man. Miss Katie. Rest in peace, Miss Katie. And, man, Angie, too. You feel me?
Yeah.
They gave me my opportunities young. They put me to work, though. Cause I was young. I want a job. What you want to do? I want to work here.
So wait. Where did this come from? You just how did you? You just was born feeling like I want to work.
I struggled as a kid. Like I seen my mama raising me and my brother. You feel me? So it was like certain. I always felt like I wanted certain fine shit. Like I wanted the nicest shit. I feel it was look. If it just looked like it was hella nice, cost hella money. I wanted. I didn't give a fuck. Like, I didn't know what Louis Vuitton and shit. I didn't know what that shit was as a kid, but I liked the way the shit looked. It just looked like luxury.
It looked expensive.
Like, classy as fuck. Like, Renaissance paintings and shit. I just liked how that shit looked. Like, old school vintage cars. I liked how that shit looked. The design, the detail within the curves of the metal and just how certain the shapes of certain shit. Like, it was weird, though. You feel me? But then again, it's like, I tell people, like, I ain't got the average brain waves either. I done had over 100 seizures.
Wow.
As a kid, I was epileptic, so.
Wow. I had one seizure.
I had over
100. Age two.
I had one every day for 3 months straight.
Wow.
And then I just stopped having
them. So you were like, did that, they had you at, you know, on watch at a hospital?
I was in the hospital for like 9 months. I was running health test.
And this is what? Is it toddler? Is it
I was like,
two?
Six,
one or seven?
Oh, wow. From 6 to 8 years old. What? I had ended up going through like ammonia. And then I had the seizure shit. Like I was paralyzed. Half of my body, my whole left side of my body. I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair.
Wow.
I didn't go to school for like damn near a whole year.
I know somebody out there can relate to something.
I was fucked up, bro. Like, as a kid, I didn't even remember, like, my childhood. I was so, like...
That hindered you from a lot of activity, from connecting with something.
Yeah, I had to relearn how to walk. And that's what's fucked up. Don't nobody, like, I don't tell nobody this shit. My baby mama's don't even know this shit. You feel me? That's why I was like, man, we can go deep with this. You feel me? Because it's like, I let shit out. And then even having... Like, I was just in children's hospital yesterday with my son. You feel me? He got strep throat. I'm sitting there like, fuck.
Remember, you went through so many
hospitals, bro.
Just traumatized.
I don't like them. I'm in there 5.5 hours. I went in there at 9 o'clock. Like, why these people ain't called me?
Nerves rattling.
And this was I know what it was. They running my son's last name. And they running my name.
Like, is it?
Like, what the fuck? I got the thickest file ever up in here. And it's just crazy the fact that I was in there feeling the same vibes. Like, why am I saying hell alone? They kept trying to hold him. I'm like, no. Like,
right, yeah. You want to get him out of there. That's how I feel.
I'm at
the,
but,
I don't like my kids. Nobody at the hospital.
Like, a lot of shit happened as a youngster. So the experience that you feel or you go through or things that you liked because you didn't get a chance to obtain be the things that tend to be like close to. That's like where materialistic shit comes from.
That's what I was gonna say. What did that do to your character? That made you more.
It makes you want to know how to get it, but then
because you couldn't. So you're like, I have to figure this out.
Yeah, but then it's like ways of figuring it out. You got to go through.
Got to be more creative.
Yeah.
And
the creativity came from a lot of pain. That's what people don't understand. Like, there's something in you that's gonna push out a whole other individual. It just so happened I was able to catch my soul before it was able to be spread out across the motherfucking street. You see what I'm saying? Like, it was close to it. There's some niggas out there that don't like me. You feel me? And there's some niggas out there that don't like me because they couldn't respect me. You feel me?
What did you mean by that? Like,
because it's like, you know.
I feel like I know what you mean, but
like, they couldn't respect me because they didn't know who I was.
You were different? Is that what you mean?
Nah, I was more so the nigga that didn't fuck with nobody, but if he fucked with my family, I'd turn up. You feel me? I lost a lot of different motherfuckers in my life where I buried like 18 partners within a 3-year time frame. So it's like seeing disloyalty amongst friends, and I can't respect that nigga. Like, you feel me? And then it's like, I'm seeing situations of me not fuck with individuals because I'm young. I'm figuring out how the streets moving. I'm figuring out these niggas ain't really fucking with me. They can't respect me because they can't respect themselves.
Right.
And that's what I had to learn. Like I got to do for me. Because you may be in a group of individuals that's all getting money. You can be the brokest nigga. They're going to send you on your way to go be a scud missile to prove yourself. But what are you really proving? Right. You're trying to amount to some shit that you don't have because you see the materialistic things that they obtain.
And that's that predicting where you...
And that's where you think you can go get it from. Right. Oh, I can go do it because I'm doing this. Nigga.
You're predicting that outcome.
Yeah, but then you really don't have nothing to fall back on. Like me, I went to the pen for kidnapping robbery, bro. I was really about that shit.
Yeah, I've been...
But then nobody understand where it was coming from. Oh, that's B. He cool. Like, he don't be doing all that. What? Nigga, you bad.
Yeah.
Fast. Don't underestimate me, nigga. I'm 260 pounds, nigga. I don't play with me, nigga. I've been this size since I was 14. I ain't playing with nobody when it comes to me being hungry. And I had to understand how to maintain myself. Don't be having fucked up spending habits and trying to amount to what other individuals risk their life for.
Why'd you have to? So nobody taught you any of this? Like, nobody?
Nah,
did you have your dad? Or
nah,
did you,
I ain't had no daddy for sure not. But I seen my mama.
An older brother at all?
Yeah, got older brothers. I got older brothers. I got two older brothers. My older brother, I seen art at a young age. Like, and I say this because even though we kind of had like a start, kind of cool, like on some rapping shit. My brother Half Pint was rapping back in the day. Originally from Detroit, but when he moved out here, he got embraced by Funktown. So he started rapping Funktown, and he started rapping and shit, and he started getting part of the Dangerous Crew and Priority Records and started fucking with a lot of different individuals. Then my mama was rapping and shit. She was in a group with DN Finn and Uncle Frank that passed away. The group ended up turning to 187 Fact. So it was like, within a melting pot of everything that was going on, like, we was, like, fucking around with music, studios, and basically, I just called the Paradigm.
Okay, I know what you're talking
back
about.
In the day, like, don't too many people know about that shit unless you were fucking with it.
He was telling me about it. He's a DJ.
Yeah, OG niggas know.
Right.
Like, I was in the Paradigm, bro, at 6 years old, dancing on stage.
Yeah,
niggas like you at home, chilling. I'm in the Paradigm looking at
E-40. I'm watching cartoons.
Be Legit, Sugar T. You feel me? Like, Dangerous Dame. I'm looking at all of these individuals, the delinquents, nigga, when they was young niggas, like, really pulling
these
up.
Big names of the time.
Of the time.
They're big names.
Now, but these
are still the well-respected names now.
For sure. Like, I've got delinquents in the deck right now.
Well-respected.
You feel me? And it's like, I was like, damn, nigga, I'm 5 years old, and I'm seeing the ground pioneers, nigga, this Bay Area rap shit, nigga, this Oakland rap shit, though.
Right.
You right there on San Leandro Boulevard, bro.
Yeah, it's where all the studios is right here.
Nigga, the Paradigm was like a big-ass warehouse, bro, with a stage in the back, with an upstairs level where you can go up. And like, you know how that picture looked, Good Times, when they dancing with the little paint?
Yeah, yeah.
It looked like something like that on my mama. I swear to God, and can't nobody my age, 35 years old, tell you this shit, that. Nigga.
Nah.
I can go sit with the OGs. They be like, how the fuck? You was the little nigga with the high top with the spray painted clothes on, nigga. Swear to God.
Who spray painted them?
I want to say, Plan B, nigga. I want to say Plan B. I got to call my mama, bro, and ask her.
Okay.
Cause she going to say she got the motherfuckers sprayed. I want to say Plan B, bro. You feel me? I got to ask my mama, though.
So all those experiences, did that shape any of
that
your...
That shaped me into who I was. Like, I didn't know who I was at 5 years old. I was in studios. We was on High Street. They just had the studio.
And then you're going to school still, right?
I'm going to school still.
But you're going to school around these...
I thought I was
everybody
famous.
Else was... Yeah.
I thought I was famous because my mama... we was living in the Dubs, you feel me? And all my family's in the Dubs and shit. My granny lived on East 27th. 26th Ave right there by Judy's on Black and White, used to be across the street, you feel me? And it was crazy then because my uncle was out there and he used to be out there grinding and shit with niggas outside, you feel me? He used to be doing their thing and East 27th and that corner right there in 26th Ave, like, my granny didn't let us go past that corner, bro. She didn't give a fuck, nigga. I swear to God, you walk off that corner, bro. It was like four old ladies that stayed across the street. Miss Thomas.
Your grandma.
It was my granny's daughter. Her name was Miss Ann. And then the apartment building right next to that, you feel me, was where my Cambodian nigga Alan and his sister and shit stayed right there, you feel me? And we could play in the little back of it, but you couldn't, like, my granny didn't play that shit. You leave off that curb. We knew not to leave off that curb, bro.
Has anybody got close or and she come out there yelling?
Granny beat your ass, bro. Like, my mama, like, my granny wasn't, she wasn't with that shit. She
firm.
Firm. Don't play with me. She, like, she'll tell you.
Quick. And she cursed, like, all that.
Cussed at you. Fuck. She
lost, you know?
She a little lady with gold, with a little gold crown or two. With a saucy ass Jerry curl, hella juicy. Yeah, she had a little fro, with a little fro.
So good.
You feel me? With the little on my mama, she had that little cool little curl.
Okay.
She didn't play that shit. About. I always had on velour sweatsuits and shit. Like, she was in a mob. Like, she didn't play, bro. But I ain't never got tough. My ass whooped by my granny, though.
My grandma never whooped me, but she was very tough.
I seen her whoop.
She would threaten
everybody else.
She would say stuff.
Yeah, my granny wouldn't. Like, I knew.
She wouldn't say she was going to whoop me, but she would say, you better. She would have the attitude when you
I'd
feel like.
I'd get in trouble at home, and my mama would tell them. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's as far as it'll go. Because when I got to granny house, I'm listening. I'm sitting down.
Oh, yeah.
She like, he got mad, but my brother, he'd be talking back and shit. You feel me? It'd be certain shit that I learned from because I was a little brother.
Same with my brother. Argue with my mom and my grandma. Yeah. I didn't.
But a lot of shit really.
I argued
like,
with my mom at some point.
The up and down parts of it, experiencing life, was that part, like, four or five years old.
Yeah.
I remember back till I was, like, four. So, when I was, like, going through that stage of the little music shit.
Celebrity life.
It was like, ooh, we going on shows. Like, I see the shit my little cousin, little Duty doing. I look at that like, I was doing that same shit, right? Don't nobody understand what that feeling as a kid unless you really want
to. I kind of can understand it because my kids, me doing this podcast, me being a barber, me doing the food business with my wife, me having so much going on. Wow. They know I rap too.
Yeah.
They know I've rapped in the car with the made songs.
Yeah.
So they be, my son, and that's what we was talking about earlier.
Exposing
but my exposure, for sure. That's what excites me. It's my inspiring
you,
them.
You'll see where they mind.
But they flips. Sit there and they're like, oh, so dad, this you about to be on the radio. Yeah. Or my son's coming in, he's like, Dad, what's up, Mr. Podcast?
Yeah, and that
and
makes
like,
them think that it's that much easier.
They can, it's possible. It's that
it
much
is.
Easier.
It's that much easier because they don't give us the opportunity.
And that was you.
To say, yeah. That's why when I see that shit, like, I know. Man, this is what I tell my cousin the other day. I said, Brian sold 15 paintings to 15 different celebrities.
So, wait. So, I just wanted to make sure we all understood that connection. Exposure. It's really
well
key to understanding one's potential, or you know what I mean. Like
that's what'll get you prepared for life.
Just go out. You need
being
to expose.
Exposed. Listen, I can give you a pound of weed, right? Can you break it down for me?
Most definitely. I mean, I'm from California.
Listen, hold on. I'm going to get some game.
I'm from Oakland.
I'm going to get some game. Watch this. I can get you a pound of coke. Can you cook it up for me?
Nah.
But can you break it down? You know how to break down zips.
Because of my determination with things, yeah. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Even if I have no experience with it.
Now, that's the thing. No, I'm keeping it 100. I didn't went to jail for coke, heroin. Never got caught for no weed. Right? So for me, put anything in my motherfucking face, nigga, I can do it. I can sell it like a motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's my attitude, too. That's what I say. I say, if you asking me my attitude and you really, like, get it done, I'm going to get it done.
And that's where it comes from. Like, I sold heroin, went to jail for it. Sold coke, went to jail for it.
So wait. Because we're on this topic of self-made. You're saying that you have to, it's part of being that self-made. Also, it's kind of important to have to get it done attitude.
How many businesses have people tried to open up and shut down because they went bankrupt and they didn't get a chance for it to go off the ground?
I know many friends that hadn't.
How many businessmen have invested in businesses and it didn't go nowhere?
I know many.
It's just like the dope gang. Nigga, I tried to sell coke.
Drake said it. A lot of people said life's just like dope game. Just like the crap game. Rap game like the crap game.
Like they say rap game like the
crap game. Yeah, it's the
same shit. You just gotta understand what your product is, bro.
Yeah.
Once you understand what your product is.
That's part of being self-made.
Knowing who your buyers are. Knowing who your consumers are. Knowing who you're promoting your business to.
That's right.
Knowing how you can control the number. I can go take something. Give me $15. I'm going to make something that's going to sell for $1,500. It may not sell right now.
Right. That's still an investment.
Just
still
like
a product.
The Basquiat I was talking about, I'm finna go buy. I'm spending $2,250 to give my son something for his birthday that he can say, Daddy, I'm 40 years old now. Whether I'm dead and gone, this nigga gave me something that is worth so much more. I want to create value with my mind frame and my children and know that if I'm doing it, y'all doing it and picking up the slack. I'm going to spend $2,500 on weed, Jordans, like bossing up, popping bottles. Nah, nigga, I'm going to give my son a $2,500 postcard original Basquiat painting that's on the motherfucking books. That's in books all over the world.
Now let's focus in on that right there, because we were talking about the Basquiat earlier. You were talking to me about the artwork. Mm-hmm. It's a postcard, right? Yeah. A lot of people are, you know, probably have heard the name Basquiat. It's a famous artist.
I named my son Basquiat.
Wow, that's dope. Shout out to your son, right?
Yeah.
And most definitely. And you were explaining to me that they have these postcards that they have in museums that Basquiat, the actual artist, created many years ago, what, 1960s?
Yep. Like, nah, he wasn't even that old, bro. Like, my mama, he was young, nigga. He was wearing Jordans and shit.
Oh, so like 1990s. Yeah, he wore Jordans. Basquiat wore Jordans.
Listen,
he was
part of the, you feel me, like, hip-hop. Era.
He was in the hip hop era.
Okay. Uncle Fab Five Freddy. Shout out Fab Five Freddy though. All I really right. fuck with him though. Like okay. we connected. We talked on the phone and all this shit. And
shout out.
He you know what I mean? He's part of that era, bro, when hip hop first kicked off. Like
with art really connected with music and lifestyle.
Living
and
color and their whole political side of Nixon, the Reagan era,
the drug war shit.
Like he part of that, bro.
That's when everything was very cohesive at that time.
It was a lot. He part of that 88 wave. Like, it's another dude named Ramzell, right? Ramzell was an artist that did Africa Bambaataa.
Oh, artwork. And that's his artwork was hard.
The shit that they had on his the masks and
hard.
Shit.
His artwork was hard.
It's Ramzell,
boy. It was his statement.
It was raw, nigga.
And so, You were talking about those pieces that Basquiat
created.
Those
postcards
they create value. How?
They cost $5 in 1988, I would say 1990 when he first met Andy Warhol, right? And I feel like them postcards, that's, if you watch the story of Basquiat, it'll show you how he started his, basically, legacy of being discovered as an artist. He walked in, I guess, a coffee shop or wherever Andy Warhol was eating at and presented his postcards to him.
A lot of people make it, like, a lot of the big names you hear, they have this courage to just present it, put themselves out there.
You got to. As an artist, you have to. It's a,
Big Sean met Kanye West doing that.
It's a gift and a curse, right?
Yeah.
Because you can make or break yourself.
It's a sacrifice.
If you sacrifice your whole everything and you present yourself to somebody and they fuck off your whole aura, that'll fuck you off as a person, and that experience will take you to a whole nother dimension. So if you can't capture yourself, like, you can't really say, like, all right, I'm an artist. Because you're just an emotional person with a pink button. You feel me?
Whoa, I like
that
one.
A lot of people out there.
Hope somebody heard that.
That can paint. Like, if you're an emotional person with a paintbrush.
I feel like when he said artist, he was speaking to any blend of art and work.
All,
I
mean, forms.
Whether we're talking about music, anybody with a pencil, poetry, a paintbrush, a pencil, charcoal. I mean, film work, art, photography. You talking about art. Even barbering is art. I mean, yeah.
You can be a mad motherfucker with some clippers and you're going to fuck some heads up. But it's about, if you master your anger, you got to turn that shit around to a 360 degree. If you can turn that shit around, then you can channel your anger to be a master at what you do. And everybody will fuck with you because you are passionate opposed to being emotional. Just like having
that's a part of being self-made, for
hell
sure.
Yeah,
I think so.
You got to know how to, first of all, self, right? You got to master yourself. Some people, like me, I'm a good businessman, right? I feel. There's a lot of people that I do
I think
business
so.
With. I don't have a lot of bad reviews unless you're just hating. Unless I probably, like, I don't know, did something that you probably didn't like, opposed to being me as an artist doing my business. And we going to take care of it. You feel me? If we doing nigga business, I got a lot of hood partners, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's a lot of nigga business going on out there, but I don't bring that to the table. That's why I got a business license. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's where a lot of us had to figure out, like, everybody that's young with a business now coming from the street, have to leave that street mentality where it's at. Can't bring that shit to the business world, because even though they say gangsters wear suits too, gangsters have dialogue with these suits. These niggas ain't pulling out 4.5s and AR-15s. You can't walk in with no suit on with no big-ass 30 clip. You feel me?
No, that's real.
And that's where experience and everything that you go through, like, it'll check you. Because I didn't been to the pen. I didn't been checked by life. I didn't did shit that didn't check me. Like, moving too fast and being too arrogant and acting overly, like, you know what I mean? Like, you doing too much, bro. You overdoing it.
Yeah.
You know you ain't no sucker, but now you overdoing it.
Right.
You had to go run.
Your ego is out of control.
Yeah, you had to just strip them niggas and do all that.
Right.
And I had some niggas tied up coming down the back fire escape type shit like we're looking at right now. Like, and I can admit my faults. You feel me? Once I admitted my faults, I figured out who I was. Nigga, I had to let that old person go.
You had to admit your faults to yourself, though.
My faults to myself.
So you had to stare in the mirror.
Nigga, I was in a hole for 8 months. Like, fuck this fight. I just beat up a nigga for stealing my phone. I got to really figure out, like, nigga, is this where the fuck I'm finna be in, bro? Because now I went to jail in jail.
Because you keep going through, it's just, you're just hitting your head.
Cycle,
you're hitting
your head. Bumping my head, bro. And it's always going to be self-inflicted when you end up in jail.
And that could be in any, it don't have, you know, your situation was jail. I've been there, unfortunately, and those whole people have, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be jail. It could be any form of bumping your head.
Losing friends and coming home expecting to see somebody, and that nigga dead, and that's somebody that you was really doing time. Damn, I'm finna come see my nigga. He hella funny. Like, or you thinking about a female or something? Like, I can't wait till I get out and see him wake that ass up. And then you be like, damn, she dead too.
Right.
Like, fuck everything else, like life.
Yeah.
Experiences, nigga. I have sons going to jail. I done seen 3 out of my 6 sons be born, bro. Because I didn't went to jail.
Right.
I'm missing these opportunities. You see what I'm saying?
Time. You can't get back.
Time that I can't get back.
You get everything back.
So the time that I have here, and if I am gone, I'm going to leave something in time for my children. People don't understand why I paint so hard. I got hella paint that I ain't show nobody. I got shit that I wouldn't show motherfuckers. You feel me? Because it ain't for you to see right now. You won't even understand it, nigga. I'm part of the future, nigga. I see some shit that you haven't seen.
That's on a spiritual episode. We gotta bring it back for that one.
Like, it'd be like, nigga, how the fuck? Don't worry about it, bro. A whole nother.
It's the spirit science.
You take some shrooms, nigga, and you kick back for about 4 hours, too. You gonna see some shit.
I'm scared of that, man.
Nah, I swear to God.
I got another brain. He's trying to give me. I'm like, man, look, I can't do this shrooms.
I'm gonna be 100.
I ain't never put nothing
in my nose.
But no, look, I got a friend who talks about psychedelics, and I'm gonna have an episode on that, right? Because
you gotta take one. Just a little bit.
It's a real debate it's out there.
The cool part about
where
it,
you know, I'm not there's, keeping this, it, this, I'm not people fake. That want to say it's psychedelics are terrible, it's and they're not. Gonna take you, you know, your mind, and da, da, da. And then there's people that say psychedelics are it's a supreme gateway to consciousness, right?
I smoke. It is. I feel like it opens some shit up.
It's a supreme gateway to consciousness.
It's not a drug.
It enables you to see something that only kind of is for you. You know what I mean? I'm not going to see what
you're
going to
see. Don't overdo shit.
That's what people say.
Don't overdo shit.
They say you got to know what you're doing. I'm scared, though. I've been curious enough to think and research. But I'm scared.
I want the topic to be like we on some shroom shit.
Right.
You got people that take. And I'm saying about experience.
It's a segue, y'all. This is a short snippet.
Experience, right? I've seen people take E-pills. I've seen people take Percocets. I've seen people take, you know, Molly, all this extra shit, acid. I'm in the art world. I done seen some real crazy shit in parties, art little gatherings, people just tripping. I'm like, what the fuck is that on, bro? My one partner, shout out Eye Drops. I'm gonna drop his name.
Shout out Eye Drops.
He gave me a shroom, right? I love my guy. He like, take this, bro. Having a bad day. He like, I was going through some shit, my baby mama. He like, take this, bro. Gonna be hella happy. I'm not taking this shit.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gonna take it from me. You feel me? I ain't gonna throw it away. I put it in my desk, bro. Some plastic was in my desk for like 4 months. Hella long. I be putting hella change in my drawer.
You forgot about it?
Never forgot about it because I always go in there and I put change up.
Okay.
So I always see it. I just,
nah. You didn't want it. Like, how I am. I'm like,
got
nah.
to the point, like, I ain't taking it.
Cause I had somebody give me some stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So, look. One day, I'm sitting there. I'm like, because I took shrooms before. I was in Tahoe. Best fucking experience of my life. I was somewhere different. Never been to Tahoe. Snow. It's catting off. Holding up. Everything's white. I'm just chilling. Like, happy shit, right? I give this shit to my cousin. That shit to my nigga Eye Drops get to me. Pop give it to my cousin. He like, he already going through some shit, right? I'm like, take this, bro. See how you feel? You want me cool? I'm telling him
So you set him up? Kind of.
No, I ain't set him up. He grown ass man. He knew
even though you weren't comfortable.
I wasn't comfortable taking it for the second time.
Right.
You feel me? I wasn't in a new environment. Like, you feel me?
It's setting. A lot of people talk about the setting. It's important.
So the first time I took it, I was in the snow.
Right. So you give it.
So I'm like, I'm not taking this shit in my art studio. I look at hella shit bouncing off the walls, paintings and shit coming to life. I'm thinking about the trip side of it. Because I'm on a regular mode.
Right.
My cousin's going through some depression type shit. He's going through a breakup. I'm like, oh, shit. Slide it to him. Bob, he take it. He hella happy. He happy for like 15 minutes. He want to do hella shit. It's hella funny, right? Hour go by. He's still chilling. We doing hella shit. He laughing. He crash out.
Pass out.
Because it do that to
it drains you.
It drains you real quick, right? But then he wake up like,
it's that adrenaline, I think.
It's adrenaline. Like, damn, there on some real other shit. He wake up like, but I feel hella good. Like, bro, that shit had me feeling cool. Like, and I'm looking at him like, you sure? Like, yo, man, that shit was in there dried out.
Right.
Like, I didn't think that shit was still worked or nothing. But I was like, damn, this shit is crazy. Because when you look at other individuals take some shit,
He'd be like, damn, baby, nigga, high. And what's crazy is he could have had a different experience than you might have had if you would have took it, right?
Yeah, because I think about the mood is altering your mood.
The mood, so, the setting, and whatever feeling and whatever you had you or your intention for why you're taking it. People forget that. The intention for why you're doing these things is important, y'all. I mean, we didn't want to spend too much on it, but we did want to say that because it's important that sometimes, you know, even with weed, whatever it is you're doing, these mind-altering things, it's important the intention that you're doing to change.
You don't want to do too much of nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But On a note of just having experiences, and that's where that comes from.
Right.
Certain things will develop you in a way to where, like you were talking about, trying to hustle and selling certain types of drugs and get through it in the hood atmosphere because this is what we see. But then you have other children that don't know about nothing that we see in the hood because their atmosphere growing up and their experience is different. So their business may be something as if starting a insurance company or following their daddy's footsteps, becoming a cop or whatever the case.
My son wants to be a cop. Like he loves cops. Shit.
But as kids, we all wanted to become cops because we seen people with guns in the hood that can walk around and not be feared by the people that's in the cars or that's amongst our family.
Right.
So it's a difference. Really, kids want safety, bro. Self-preservation. So I know a cop is a safe preservation type of a, you know what I mean?
Right, most definitely.
So that's where I feel like that came from. And then just looking at it, like, having the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, you never know where you're going to be good at it until you try. So like I said, I tried everything else. That shit kept landing me in jail.
Yeah, well, to say, like, because when it comes to that, you know, we was talking about, you know, overestimating your reactions and stuff. Sometimes, it's like, most of the time, people are poor predictors.
Yeah.
That's what, it, you know, it comes down to.
Because you're poor. Think about it, bro. Your mindset is where you come from. So you come from a poor environment, you come from a poor situation, you come from poor income, you come from a poor city, you come from a poor curb, you come from a poor... Just look at this shit. It looks poor. You go somewhere else, it looks good. You can drive 15 minutes away from Oakland up the hills, you're going to feel good because you know why? You're above the shit that you know you come from the bottom.
That's real.
See, we ain't living in the South where everything is flat.
No.
We living in the standard of bottom to the top. We can drive to the, we can look at the hills and tell the houses is bigger and better. You know why? They don't see us down here, but we see them up there.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, though.
That's real, though. That's an interesting perception. I mean,
I feel like we on the flat land.
Somebody out there feels that.
You see what I'm saying? I worked
in politics. You out there in Oakland, California, do you feel me?
I worked in politics, zone 6, then 7, 1, 2s, and 3s. People don't understand. This shit ain't got nothing to do with.
And Oakland's changing.
Yeah, man, this shit been changing, bro. This shit was changing back in 2003, 2004, when they tried to give people the upper hand and they didn't want to pay attention to the politics.
So how do you, you know, because as it's changing and people, you know, they have predictions, they overestimate.
They scared of what they didn't do. Like, this is what I feel, bro. Ain't no gentrification around this motherfucker.
There's no gentrification?
Man, nigga, no, nigga. You can be a gentrifier yourself. I am. You know how I am?
Explain it.
I sell art. So when I was selling dope.
Right.
Nigga, they buying art. And they still buying dope, though, but... They buying art, though.
Oh, somebody out there feel me.
They still buying. What? They still buying dope, but they still buying art.
Oh, man.
So me, I'm put out dope art. Nigga, you gotta buy both. I'm still going to be me. I figured out I can sell artwork like I was selling dope. I can sell a painting for $350. I can sell a painting for $150. I can sell a painting for $80. Do I sell a painting for $30? No, I don't sell apes no more. But damn it, if you got a dollar, I'll fuck with you. And it's just like figuring out who your, like I said, figuring out who your consumers
are. So when you say figuring out who your consumers are and you had to make that transition, right? Because that was for self-preservation,
yeah,
for being a father.
Also having the talent and figuring out how you can go out and get that motherfucker to pay it.
But when you get to those figuring, a lot of people have an issue with preference versus reality. Because then you hear, do what you love to do. You hear like 20 people say, do what you love to do. That's what life is. You do what you love to do. Don't worry about the money. Then some people will tell you,
no, you're supposed to worry about all of that shit.
Get paid. Make sure you're getting paid, but you enjoy your job. Or, you know, so what preference versus reality?
Balance.
Because you say,
this is what I feel. Balance, right? Reality is this. 50-50. Preference and reality, right? I prefer people to pay me thousands of dollars. Reality is
I'm going to get thousands of dollars in Oakland? No. But I can get thousands of dollars in Oakland if I get the city of Oakland to fuck with me. So what's the reality of it? I don't get a city contract and get paid $10,000 for 10 hours of work. So I prefer to deal with my city, my niggas, my sis, my big brother, my aunt, my auntie, the dope fiend nigga around the corner, because that's who motivated me to be an artist. Knowing that we come from this shit. I could take your dope fiend shoes, nigga. I could take your dope fiend shit. I could take that rim, that tub cap, that stop sign with bullets in it, nigga. I can put something on it and sell it to you motherfuckers for $50,000. Cause y'all wanna buy this street shit so bad. So I'm the nigga y'all street gonna
culture.
Buy this shit.
Street fine. Culture.
I'ma tax you fuck ass motherfuckers.
Somebody listening?
Yeah, they listening. Because then when they go buy it, oh, it's the urban whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's you motherfuckers trying to gentrify us. So we're all trying to gentrify us. I'ma tax your ass.
That's that culture vulture stuff.
But right, understand this. I'm doing this for a purpose, because within the message of any artwork, you run a black light across that motherfucker, you're gonna see a message and you're not gonna like.
That's real.
Cause I'm not selling you nothing. Knowing who you are, I'ma sell you something with a message in it. It's gonna disrespect you if you find it. That's why I like selling art. It's a slap in the face. You just don't see it. Just like you've been slapping us in the face. We just didn't see it.
That's real.
So it's like you get what you pay for. Like, the highest piece of art I ever had sold was $20,000.
I like that you, how you formed that, though, and you painted the picture of, you were able to balance your preference and reality. And so do you think it's important for somebody who wants to be considered self-made, or they want to call themselves self-made?
Yeah,
you need to be able to balance that.
Balance that shit.
You need both. You need to want. You need to get what you want.
You
need to get what you want. It needs to be about what you want, but still make the result. Get the result, and you got to figure that out.
I used to spread myself thin, and I still do when it comes to family and friends and community type shit. But when it comes to business, like if I don't know you and you want to buy a painting, this is what I want, bro. And if I know you and I'm telling you this is what I want, respect it, bro, because this is what I really want.
Right, right.
I'm not breaking nothing down for y'all got six kids. My balance on some partner shit is $600. I can't go no lower than that. I'm not doing no small work. I start off at this size, at this price, and I'm giving you the family jewel gets $600. I want $1,200. I'm charging you $600. I don't pull up for less than $350 on deposit. We can do a paint party. It's going to be $600. I want $600. We can do everything else on you. So it's like, I try to just give it everything I can, bro. I don't want to fall short. I want to stay busy. You know what I mean? You got to know how to be you, be firm, and don't let your business take over the reality of where you come from. You have to be able to balance out the two. Because you got to represent your business within your city. Your city going to be able to tell another motherfucker about you. So sometimes you have to be able to coincide with your city and still have a reality that everybody don't got to spend $1,000.
Right.
So let me have my... I got a cold jug, though, 30% off of anybody in Oakland. Like,
shout out.
You feel me? You Oakland business, I damn near bust it down for half if I damn near fuck with your family.
Go shout out. You know, so, go check out Splash Gang on the IG, y'all. You know what I mean? It's really, really... great work out there he got going on. He really got custom artwork, man. I got to see some pieces. He's doing some good stuff, some good people out there. So, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a really good way to define being self-made. I mean, is there any, you know, is there any misconception that you want to say is common? That people always, you know, when you hear self-made, like...
Everybody think you got money to spend. Everybody think you at Hollywood because you don't come around, because you're always busy. Like, what I don't like is when people address me, that's my family, by my Instagram name, or they try to play me like, oh, news, you act funny because that or shit, and I be ready to beat one of them niggas' ass, bro.
I understand that.
Like, I'm still me,
I got
bro,
family that like, call me, yeah.
And then it's like, I don't always have it.
I'm broke right now. Invoice coming in, though, for a couple bands, but I got responsibilities as a grown man. I got children.
You still have to produce.
I still got
to
produce. Like, I spend a lot of money on what I do. And I have to go out and spend the money before anybody else says that they know that I'm an artist. I have to produce the work to show that I'm an artist. So, hell yeah, I'm broke. I didn't even spend $1,200 on equipment or paint, supplies, just to be able to say, I can do this. And I may charge you $300-$400 just to be able to cut myself back on 30% of my earnings. You feel me? Because I spent $1,200. I need to make at least half of that back. So my 30% of that is going to be $400. I'm going to do that 3 times this week before the kid's birthday pop up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just organizing yourself and always working. Like, being able to be a portrait artist, that'll keep a lot of money in your pocket because everybody wants to see a picture of themselves, no matter how it's broke down. It look good.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of back burner paintings. Like, people that I know want paintings that ain't tripping, but a painting, bro, call me. I got the money. I keep those as my bills. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like,
emergency. So you have a process and a structure. That's that structure you were talking about before. Like, now this is your structure for just maintenance and for sustaining this ascension going
more. Like right now, I have a job that I'm doing right now, a 90 for MacArthur. That's a $10,000 job. But I just spent $10,000 on equipment.
Wow.
This year started, I wasn't worried about New Year's. I was worried about buying $10,000 worth of equipment.
Right.
To make sure my year is prepared. So I can have a scissor lift. I can do walls now at a higher rate. I can do bigger walls faster. You know what I mean? I can do shit that I couldn't do at first because last year I didn't have a scissor lift. I didn't have 2 cars. I didn't have my own apartment. I was living out of my art studio. I sacrificed that for a whole year.
That was a part of
self-making. Yeah, you know. Self-made. Like, people didn't know I was living in my art studio. People thought I was just in there working hella hard.
But I hear a lot of business, you know, entrepreneurs or people who achieve financial freedom, you know, and they've went through this time of huge sacrifice.
Hell yeah, I was like to the point where I felt depressed. Like, I was washing my ass, bro, in the bathroom, knowing I can go to somebody's house and take a shower, but
dignity,
nigga, I got a dignity problem because it's that contradiction. He's the art nigga selling. He did a mural.
What I look like going over here?
I'm a street nigga, bro. I got problems, bro.
What I look like going over here and they know
I'm... You feel me? Even if it is my cousin, even if it is my... Now I'm going to go up in this motherfucker and bust down real quick. You feel me?
Right,
baby, wipe it up. You feel me? I don't give a fuck. I done sold dope. I done ran out of trap houses. Now I done washed my ass out of bathrooms with crackheads. Nigga knocking at the door. Yeah, this feel good to be in my own art studio washing my ass with this bar Dove.
Right, for real, though.
Because now this bar Dove is saying, I'm walking right back in this studio, and I'm finna make $1,500 today.
Right, because I'm at work. I'm where I'm supposed to be.
I'm where I'm supposed to be, and that felt better.
And it's you.
The dignity was kind of like self-centered. It wasn't the dignity of being embarrassed. I got money in my pocket. I got a safe in here.
Right.
I just don't want to spend no money. So, I mean, I don't want to even go wash my ass in nobody's house. Yeah, if that means me not getting a hotel room, and yeah.
That's a good sacrifice, though.
Because now I'm still me. I'm still the same person. My baby mama still came through. She still got pregnant. So, hey, shit. Y'all rocking. You going to fuck with the street nigga who ain't washed his ass in 3 days. You going to suck him as soon as he come in the house.
Hey, you feel me?
It's a lot of, Treat me like the street nigga, man. Because I'm still him. I just have a paintbrush.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I'm able to sit up here and paint some beautiful shit. I'm in tune with my feelings. I can wear pink and not feel funny. And it ain't got nothing to do with
camera. That's important. My dad was homophobic, man. I wasn't close with him, but he was homophobic as hell.
I'm going to keep it
100. He would not respect me wearing yellow. And I'm like...
I was too, right? Until I had to just be 100 with myself and say, if I'm homophobic, then my best friend who I grew up with is gay.
I wasn't genuinely homophobic. I was like that 6-7 year old.
I was though.
That was like, oh, I'm not gonna be this.
I was because I didn't understand it.
That's exactly.
And now that me being grown and Like my cousin, I love that nigga. I don't give a fuck. We smoke blunts all the time. I don't give a fuck, nigga. It's your preference, my nigga. I respect you and I love you for who you is. Yeah, so I can't be mad at nobody for who they fuck with. That's your business, nigga. You like it, I love it.
I
get a lot of money with LGBT community. You feel me?
That's right.
They spend bands on artwork.
That's right. That's right.
And it ain't got nothing to do with the preference. No. I respect y'all. I like who you are. I don't give a fuck if you keep
right,
it popping,
that's right.
Yo.
Shout out to community out there. Talking about, you know,
some of their hairlines be sharper than mine. Nigga, will you cut your hair?
I got clients as a barber. I got clients that have different preferences.
Never prejudice,
nothing,
bro.
Nothing, you know, you shouldn't ever judge
my best friend
based on your sexual preference.
You know what I'm saying? She's a lesbian. Nigga, she showed me a whole lot of shit about graphics. Like, certain people that felt like they didn't have a voice are so open now because they have that outlet, even with it being artists and being artistic and saying, okay, yeah, I was in a capsule. I let it out and I showed off my artistic side, and now I'm able to be the sauciest motherfucking painter, photographer, graphic designer, nigga, and I can show you this, that, and the third. But then your outside community that we grew up in, like these street niggas and these motherfuckers who are so stupid, who don't try to even get the understanding. Bro, what you doing with that gay nigga?
Right, right.
What you doing with, you feel me?
They talk about you, they target you, like, or they criticize you, like, they tease you.
Oh, this what we
oh,
are?
Oh, you heard. You see him over there, bro.
Okay, so now your broke ass over there looking stupid.
Right.
And you need a bailout.
Right.
Who you going to turn to when you walk in that building and it's that gay person that you was talking shit about, bro?
Right. I got the money.
I never want to be that prejudice to be stupid. You know what I mean?
I like that. Never want to be that prejudice to be stupid.
Come on, bro. That's being stupid because I've had people that I didn't expect
to come out to be stupid.
And to be prejudiced. Not even to be like gay or anything, but just to be prejudiced towards their own. I had to check my son. Nigga, he didn't know what he was disrespecting an Indian. I said, what are you doing? You prejudiced? You racist?
My son did that kind of like
you don't understand. We were at a
pho restaurant, Vietnamese restaurant, yeah. And I eat the pho, and you know, my son, we was finishing up, and my son said, you know, I was talking to my son, and he said, Dad, all these Chinese people in here. I said, hold on. I said, these are not Chinese people. I said, these are Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean?
Know, yeah.
He was like, what do you mean? And he was like, they're all the same. I was like, no. Whoa.
Nah,
I was like, don't do that. I was like, there's a lot of different people in the world. There's more, just black people are not just black. It's like, there's more than one kinds of, when you look at people, we're all one.
Nationalities, we're all people.
But
one.
There's more, there's just a lot of difference, so you got to be careful with that. And that's.
Yeah, my son thought it was just only English and Spanish. I had to tell him it's way more languages because there's way more nationalities.
That's awareness right there.
And he was like, my one son, shout out Bo Monty, he's a character, bro. I ain't gonna lie, it's my son, boy. Shit, boy, that boy go crazy. He was like, I don't like my teacher's daddy straight up. I want a new class. I'm like, who you talking to? I'm talking about, I don't like her. I'm like, why? I said, what you mean? I said, she not mean. You probably just don't understand her. Like, I don't. I'm like, why you don't understand? Like, she Indian. I said, how she talk? And he was like the man on The Simpsons. I'm like, damn, all right, let me break this down. So when I went and seen who she was, I said, okay, he's probably having a dialect issue.
Right.
Understanding
right.
how she's talking. Then
culture
situation. Like, okay, she has a dot on
it's
her
new.
Head. He's probably not paying attention to what she's saying. He's looking at the dot.
He's confused. It's kind of
so,
like.
Yeah, it may be him not even looking at everything as a whole. He's just paying attention to something. I don't understand what she's saying. And then she keeps talking. And so, you know, I had to let him know, like, you have Indians. You have Arabics. You feel me?
Yeah, it's many.
It's many different Indians.
Many different cultures.
Cultures. Many, I said, just like me. I'm Nigerian. He's like, do you speak Nigerian? I said, no, Daddy. Your daddy don't speak Nigerian, but I used to as a kid. But there's Nigerians that speak Nigerian. I said, I'm half black. African American, half Nigerian. He's like, so you two different blacks?
And that's amazing.
I'm like,
you had to
yeah.
explain that to your son.
Yeah.
I probably want to explain that tomorrow.
And he
too,
was like, okay, I said, but we're black. We just, it's Africa. He's like, so we in America, but we African Americans? And I'm like,
oh, you trying to.
I'm like, damn, like.
Because you get it.
He's getting it.
But you, no, but you get it. Yeah. But he's making sense he's of making it, but you're like, I didn't even remember how to explain this.
But I'm trying to explain it to the point where
I never thought I would have to.
Yeah, and I didn't like Black History Month. I'm going to have to go way deeper. You feel me? But then it's just like.
That's part of stuff, man.
Understanding your
being
structure.
Being able to connect and
understanding.
You got to
be able to connect, man. You got to be able to know when to pull them and when to hold them. And it's like, it's business 24/7, all day, every day. From the way you get up, to the way you conduct yourself, to the things you post on Instagram. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I'm a character, bro. So, like, my Instagram is like 75% business and 25% me. I don't try to, like, hold nothing back. I just got a job at a school in San Francisco. Lady was like, I've been following you for, like, years. I watch your page every day. I said, for real? She's like, yeah, I love you. I said, so you've been watching my page every day for years? She said, yeah. So you ain't missed that beat? She said, nope.
I'm like, well. And that made you feel good, right?
Yeah, because she's like, I want somebody like you to represent us at this school on this wall. I said, you know I'm a real nigga, right? She started cracking up. I was like, okay, now it's time to get orchestrated, like even more so. My business was fun,
so that was like that was a real big experience for you.
It was like, get your shit together.
They watching
you ain't just doing no big shit in your city, because now we're calling from San Francisco, from a school,
right?
We want you to help do our whole school. I said, not just the wall. She said, we want the whole school, and we want you to do it, you and whoever you feel. I said, damn, so I'm sitting here making...
It's big,
bro. And it's been 5 years. And I start going to schools, talking to schools, doing workshops. One of the students told the teacher started following me. And it's been 2-3 years since that happened. I went back last summer, to do some workshops with the kids. And it was cool because some of the kids started going to high school. Some other kids was growing up and telling, you know, they teachers and people about me. So now to go somewhere and I see people, they be like, I seen 3 youngsters, bro. I'm at the store with my kids. And the little nigga just walked up to me like, what's up, bro? Shook my hand and shit. I'm like, what's up with him, bro?
You don't know, right?
I don't know. It was like 4 of them. They was like, what's up, bro? I'm like, what's up with it? Now look at my baby mama, like, she like,
yeah, she was like, can you trying to figure it out?
She's like, what was that?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know who that is. She like, we just took the hand. I said,
you know what I mean? They walked up. I mean,
this is what I have to do. She like, so you think you're a celebrity? I said, I don't think I'm shit. People just fuck with my art. And it's just like, you know, it's an appreciation.
You keep
like,
that humility though, too.
Keep that shit to myself. Because it's like, I don't really like going places. But now I don't like going places, and that's not even on a level like a celebrity shit, because I'm just within my own city. Look, I went to the fucking Raiders last tailgating party. Bro, I shook so many hands, bro. My partner was like, you got some, he said, nigga, you need some hand sanitizer, bro. I said, why?
You just took too many, man.
Like, my nigga, you just shook hella hands. Like, we just been standing here about 5 minutes, and everybody keep walking up with the... Hey, I follow your artwork. One dude had his whole family. Like, you want to take a picture? I'm like, damn. And it feels good because sometimes we don't get that, bro. We don't get people telling us that we do great things, that we come from a city that ain't shit.
So it's important to make sure you feel that praise. Connect with people, though. Not just the praise, but to make sure you connect with the right
people. People that you're going to, that's going to be humble enough to tell you that, right? People tell me I look hella mean sometimes. I be thinking about hella shit.
Right, your mom, I had the same thing.
And it's just like, people get it fucked up. And I mean by, like, the roaster, right? People don't understand. It's hella funny. Like, the roaster used to watch my son. That's my son's babysitter, bro.
For real?
Yes, nigga. Can't nobody tell you that. Yes, nigga. So you like, what the fuck?
So I'm trying to, like...
Think about the roaster being a daycare provider. Like, that nigga go crazy. He is a babysitter, man. My son, bro. First 4 months of my son's life, bro, when he was, like, old enough to walk and shit.
This was how old? Back when?
He was born, I'd say, 2012.
That's crazy.
Yep. And he was watching my son every morning, bro.
Just your son? Man.
He watching his son's, his kids, you feel me? His baby mama's sister kids.
He's like, a babysitter.
It was like 5 kids in that motherfucker.
He's a babysitter.
It's when King was a baby, you feel me? And people was like...
bro, where you been checking your key? I said, where the roster? And it's cool because you get that mentality of people that'll see you for something else.
Right.
Or see you for the past and don't understand the person that you become for the future. And it's like, man, kids will show you the best side of you. You know what I'm saying? And that, just for that experience, people will say, oh, you look a certain way, but you don't. I wouldn't think that you would do this. Like, people look at me like, you don't look like an artist.
Right. A lot of people don't expect me to be a barber, a podcast host, or something.
Because it's not.
I got the tattoos, or we got the Oakland image, or whatever, right?
What nigga thought? He said, bro, I thought you was just a nigga that's so weird or something, bro.
So.
And it's just like, people get the image of outer shell fucked.
So you also saying, too, kind of like, don't lose that. Don't, or you know what I mean? Because, like, hold to that, whatever you are truly.
Yeah, be true hold to that intact. Be true to yourself.
But don't, sure. but you can be an example to how that is a positive thing, too.
Yeah.
So people can lose the misconception, kind of.
I feel like everything has an outfit that's supposed to be worn. And when you open up your mouth and present yourself, it's how people going to hold on to you.
Definitely.
They always see you for something other than what you are until you open your mouth. It's like with art, they don't see me, they see the art.
Yeah.
So when you get to know who I am, that's the difference. This is a big ass book. Like, it's still being written. Like, you feel me? It ain't gonna never be over with. I got 6 sons with the same last name. That book will never be over.
I like that. I like that legacy. That's deep. Right. I like how that's, he said, this book will never be over. I got 6 sons, man. That's and that's my mental. That's the mentality I feel like we should all have. And you know, it wasn't always like that in the beginning for you, but in that process of being self-made or even claiming that title, what would you say are like negative drawbacks or like negative things that
keep you from being self-made?
Yeah.
Spending habits. Not being around the right people. You want to have people around you that's going to keep you structured, that's going to tell you what you shouldn't do.
Stuff that you're blind to, kind of?
Yeah, because you got people that tell you what you should do. People never tell you what you shouldn't do.
You always got people like, hey, bro, we should, you know.
Don't do that. Do this.
Yeah. But they don't just.
Yeah, but like, you can't tell me that, nigga, if you ain't never did it. So I fuck with business individuals.
I like that. I've heard that before. Like, don't let somebody tell
me how to make $1 million, nigga. Never... You broke as fuck.
Right.
Okay. I got ballin' ass partners. So I'm going to talk to them about some ballin' ass shit. If I want to flip some money real quick, these are the niggas I'm going to go to. But that's if right. I want to have a sustainable business, I'm going to go holler at A1 Customs, man, and go see what that nigga talking about.
Right, right.
Because that's something I want to do. Or I want to go holler at the dude with the liquor store. And I want to know how I can sell 160 items at a tax and be able to say I made $1 million at the end of the year.
That's a business, you know. It's a business. Somebody that's official.
Number game. It's like numbers don't lie, but love do. Don't nobody that love you really give a fuck about you, because the love is there. I don't have to give a fuck about you. You're my family member, so I'm supposed to love you because you're my family member. Fuck that. Get to the bag, man. Take care of your kids. Your uncle gonna be your uncle, but your auntie gonna be your auntie, and you gonna be who you is. So, but your kids gonna need you.
So, man management is
man
important.
Man management. Like, don't look for nobody else to help you or feel sorry for you. It's your business. It's your shit. You decided to sacrifice, pick up, and stand for this shit. And you gotta, when it's time to take the fall, you take it. And you get your ass back up, and you keep pushing. Like, period. I stand on ladders and scissor lifts for a living with spray cans. I can take something that you couldn't understand and make it about something hella big. I'm sorry if my shit paid me way more money than your dude. Yours do.
That's how you feel about yours.
That's how I feel about it. But I'm not supposed to feel no type of way because this is what I chose to do. They gave us a choice and 2 legs, bro. You can be on this motherfucker with me. I tell everybody that. I tell every partner that. Bro, what's up? What's up?
People are always,
nigga,
yeah.
You always hit the phone and telling me, well, you wrong, bro. Okay, you can get up on this motherfucker with me. Help me. Because now I pay my partners $2,000, $1,500. And these weren't even my partners. These are my friends that are artists. Because I figured out who's serious.
That's right. So that's man management.
I have friends in this business, bro. I swear to God. None of my friends do what I do for a living. No nigga that I grew up with can say, bro, I do art like my nigga, bro. We've been doing this since we was kids, bro. We just came together finally. I can't say that. Nobody that's doing
No,
it's people not me that I've met in the art world.
So that networking aspect is so important.
You have to network.
You gotta go
out
there.
I've done artwork.
Connect with like-minded individuals.
I got artwork in Vegas. I got artwork in Miami. I got artwork in Virginia, Texas, New York. I got artwork in London. I got artwork. And this shit that I done sold to people, that I done sent to them. See what I'm saying? Like, I got hella artwork in Oakland. You feel me? Bay Area-wise. Antioch, Pittsburgh, San Jose. Like,
You gotta expose yourself.
And then you have to do big shit. And then you have to, like, I was on probation and parole for hella long. I just got off last year. Or 2 years ago.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Like, now I'm able to get up, pack up, and cut.
That's important.
You feel me?
But to be mobile.
Yeah, mobile. But like, now having custody of my son, like, I have to be more structured, you know what I mean? More responsible. So it's like, I'm aiming for a bigger piece of the pie opposed to just being an artist. Like, I'm finna do some shit that didn't nobody expect me to do.
I was gonna kinda touch on that. Like, I don't know if you're going in this direction, but if you building yourself up, you know, if one is gonna be self-made, they elevating their thinking, lifestyle choices, the social status, their health, financial freedom. Is there at any point some responsibility to teach others?
Hell yeah, I feel like it's a big responsibility to teach others, because you don't keep blessings by keeping secrets.
Right.
I'll show anybody this shit.
Message.
I'll show anybody this shit, bro. Like, people don't. I tell a person like this: if you quit your job right now and you become an artist, that's the only way you'll be able to understand what it's like to sacrifice and be responsible for everything that happens from that point on. From the time you quit your job and say, I quit.
I'm just doing art.
I'm doing art.
For a living, to produce it, right?
Forever, bro.
To sustain.
I'm not doing nothing else. I won't get a job nowhere else. Doing art. I won't sell no weed. I go broke days. I get bands a couple days. Slow day, fast day, medium day. Stack the money up 2 weeks. Cool, sustainable. Pay the rent. Back broke. Couple hundred. Bop. Whatever. Try to flip it. Goes bad. I ain't a D-boy no more. Leave it alone. Fuck that. Sell another painting. Double back. Stack that. Jump back. Put this in the bank. Like, you gotta be responsible.
Consistency.
Consistent, bro. You gotta keep going.
Through that roller coaster.
And that was me in the beginning. Take some money, buy some weed, try to be a D-boy on the under with the art. Damn, bro, what am I doing? I'm fucking up. So now, to be 34 years old, been out of jail 6 years, I don't make those dumbass decisions no more. I stick to the artwork. I smoke good tree. I wear nice clothes. I buy my kids what they want. I pay my rent. I owe child support $1,200 now. I owe they ass $17,000.
Man, shout out on that. Congratulations.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm riding a bucket with a fucked up dent and a fender messed up. I got a box shelf on gold ones parked in my baby mama house. I got money in the bank. I'm cool. I ain't on nobody's paperwork. These niggas can't say I snitched on nobody. Everybody's cool. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I'm just showing love.
Shout out Valentine's Day, man.
That's it, bro. I'm happy, bro.
We're recording this, you know me. And so my point is, I like that he said that he kind of went down a checklist of, I don't want to say cleaning his slate, but he was acknowledging many areas in where he could say he was balanced at. You know what I mean? He didn't have any deficits in these areas, and I think that was an important moment to focus on, talking about self-made, right? Being self-made, it's important to self-check yourself.
Yeah, you have to. You can't and make be sure self-made. You like, to check yourself.
You got sure. You got these negative things about yourself that you didn't either put out, you know, whether you didn't, like you said, not snitching, or, you know what I mean, putting bad energy out there for other people, whether it's snitching, hating, whether it's creating some bad, you know, situation for somebody, or putting them in a mix. That, you know, that's not good for you, and that's not something that a self-made individual will really produce.
You gotta be accountable for your own fault.
That's right.
And that's where, when you're doing business, you can't be no fake fake-ass person doing business. I can't trust you doing business. Like, you'll try to work me out of my money and then act like I'm not the customer who came to fuck with you.
That's right.
Like, a lot of people out here in the Bay Area got bad business names. I ain't going to say no names, but I'm not the artist that's going to take your money and not send you your artwork. I'm not the artist that... Like, you know what? People call me to call other artists.
Like, hey, is they...
Like, that nigga out of pocket, bro, what he... All right, bro, I got you. I'm the Artie Suge Knight of Oakland. Straight up. Fuck with me. I'll fuck with you. But if you out of pocket and I'm connected to you, I'm going to check your ass, bro.
That's
funny. But other than that, like, whoa, everything else cool, you know? I didn't have my ups and downs. I was ignorant. I had to check myself. I had kids. I had to check myself with the women in relationships. Like, I was cheating, going through it. As a man, like, you can't be self-made with a mentality of a young boy. You can't be self-made with a mentality of a lazy person. You can't be self-made without having a structure together with respect, personality, principles, and presentation. Like, everybody talk about popping their peas, but who can really pop their peas when it's time for you to go on that motherfucker and present yourself for a real check? I really got a business off this shit.
I talk about a lot of people where I got these, because I like what you're saying, how many people can pop, how many people can, who really ready for action when it's time, right? Because I got a lot of young cousins and even young clients as a barber. These guys are 16, 18, 20, whatever, right? I'm 30. They call me OG now, right? It's funny. And so...
We OGs.
We OGs, man. So my point is, they we get to the Instagram topic or something, any of that, and they'll get to excited because they're like, oh, how many followers you got?
Yeah,
they got 5,000 followers. They got six, you know, or they got a K behind it, or they got...
Cause you know what? You know,
and then I'll ask him, I'll say, that how many of those followers you can know. You get to send you a dollar? And their eyes get big. They're like, well, I mean, right.
You know why? Because this is what I learned. Instagram is what...
Cause a lot of people feel like they self made on there. They got these egos.
Listen,
you know, they took these pictures. They done created this image. And now they got followers, man. So how can you not tell them, right?
Their
profile says, you know, such and such. Public figure.
Listen.
I'm a public figure.
They all that. Till that phone get cut off. All of that.
What's going on? Is that a pride? Is it ego? That's not self made? That's not self. So what are you saying? Because look, I'm not going to shout nobody out. I follow some of these. But there's these chicks on there even too, right? Not just guys, but say they got 40,000 followers or somewhere, 10,000.
They fuck with it.
They said they're not self-made?
Yeah, she's self-made. She made herself the shit on Instagram. And that's what I'm laughing because you got people that let that shit blow up their mentality. Like, you can be bad.
That's not healthy.
It's very healthy for what they got going on.
It's very healthy
for what they have going on because that's what they want. That's the choice that they choose to make. When life turns around and it's time for life to choose a choice for you, don't be mad at Instagram because you're not able to post what they want you to post.
Right.
Because you posted what you wanted to post.
Right.
And you supposed to be about your business. You supposed to be about your issue. You supposed to be about life. You supposed to be about elevating, not posting just to be posting.
Because some people take that shortcut. Hopefully, if they even do get those followers, right, and they not really, hopefully they at least are doing something with this following.
I feel like this. You can have an Instagram page for promotion. For business, that's what I use mine for.
That's what I use mine for.
And I cat off every now and then.
You'll see my family, my kids here and there.
You can go to my Instagram page, right, and go all the way down to the bottom, and you can see where the transition happened at. You can look
that's
at
important.
My page and see where I took myself out of the street mentality.
So it's important that you think it's important that if you're gonna tell your story, like, don't start the story at when you got the armor and you was on the top of the hill.
You know what I love?
Start the story at when you was trying to get the sword out of the rock.
You have longevity. On my Instagram, it's going to tell you that I went to jail. On my Instagram, it's going to tell you that I broke my ankle.
like, man, this dude is
on
a
my
human.
Instagram, this dude is a human. Showing you that I'm a human being, that I have broke days.
And I've made decisions and changes on myself.
Yeah.
Like, that's self-made.
And it's like, you ain't going to make it until you've made it. And like when we were talking about the money, like, hell yeah, I'm going to be happy off that money. Fuck yeah. You know why? Because I made the decision to get to this goal of millions of dollars of my artwork being worth what it's supposed to.
That's right.
And I'm not going to see that. They is.
That's real.
So, hell yeah, I'm happy as fuck. Cause I'm gonna be happy once I buy my son these Basquiat paintings.
Hey, you got it. I want to keep on that one because I might have to find my son some Basquiat or something. That might be the new hype right now. Y'all gotta get some Basquiats.
If you ain't buying Basquiats, nigga, I got something in common with Jay-Z, nigga.
I'm telling you, man.
I can get invited to some shit.
I just love something today.
You can spend just a couple thousand. You gonna be the nigga.
How would you feel?
All right, damn, I got 10 bands. My little taxes coming, right?
Oh, we were talking about taxes on an episode ago.
Ooh, let's talk about it. Yeah, that's a whole nother story. If you know me, you know taxes is a whole nother life. But that has a lot to do with a lot, too. You feel me? I was exposed to that. That game, that lifestyle, that money, that fast turnover. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
A whole different limelight of Oakland. Whole different social status, a whole different bracket, whole different. You look at Oakland different once you jump into a game where you got dealing with some big dogs.
So
you feel me?
Kind of talk about around, you know, and we don't have to talk detail, but I mean around, even in just the idea of how when people think of self-made individuals, you know, this is like people usually associate the individuals that are in that top tier, the
like,
elite,
like street shit. I try to think like...
I think in any elite group, any top people who are self-made and kind of made it to that top status, the people in that realm, the people below them, there's this idea that there's like some secret society here.
Oh, something. Like they don't want to tell nobody the secret to getting up there.
Right.
It's consistency and working and not being on no funny shit. Like, it's a lot of people that got the same opportunities, bro. It's just like the female that say, I don't fuck with bitches. But you do hair?
Right.
Nah, I don't fuck with bitches, but you do hair.
Right, right.
You're stupid as fuck. That's like me being an artist and saying I don't fuck with other artists.
Right.
But you do art.
Right. I'll be being a barber saying.
Oh, I'm a barber. I don't fuck with other barbers. But so how can I feel like you a friendly person? How can I feel like that
you open up craft.
Your door? You're gonna like that's like a dope fiend saying that they don't fuck with other dope fiends. So how do you get high, my nigga? You're gonna be on this curb by yourself.
Right.
At the end of the day, what is your network worth?
You gotta connect.
You gotta connect. You gotta be about what you about, because if you don't open up the doors to say, it goes back to like teaching. I teach a person if they want to know, but I'm not gonna waste my time to waste your time. People like to waste their time by not being who they supposed to be, having that insecurity. Of not saying, okay, I'm comfortable with it, I'm 100% with it. No, ask that person who's comfortable enough for you to be inspired. If you inspired somebody, somebody's going to inspire you, and you're going to go out and try it, contact that person and see if they hit you back. 9 times out of 10, they're going to hit you back. But let's have the reality of it. Don't hit no motherfucker like Kevin Hart and you think he's going to hit you back on Instagram.
You got to come correct.
No, you got to go to somebody that's close enough in your caliber to let you know there is a bracket that you have to break, but it's within yourself.
Right.
You can be the best whatever the fuck you're going to be, but if you're the only person that can keep you from getting it, like, nigga, I was never expecting the artwork to get where it's at, but I self-made myself. I told myself, all right, I'm going to paint this feet. I did a sex paint party. I said, fuck it. Posted on Instagram. I need 5 females to send me pictures of their private parts. This is not for personal use. This is for a sex art show. Trap art. Did a little sex show. I wanted to paint vaginas, nigga. So I posted it professionally. I got 15 quote-unquote pussy shots.
We got to... Maybe he'll do another one of those. I know there were some funny comments on this
one. You feel me? And... No lie, I painted 3 of them. 2 of them I sold. 1 of them I kept.
bang on the wall right there.
For personal reason.
Personal reason. I understand. I mean, it's art, man.
At the end of the day, hey, man, I was selling pussy.
But this was an idea that you created.
But just think about it. He's doing what?
Nobody put you up to this.
No. Trap Art did.
Right, because they had the sex. They had the sex.
That was the exhibit.
But you pushed yourself to produce it though, right?
I wanted to paint something that I know nobody else is going to paint. And I purposely said I want you to have finger. And like,
yeah,
play with that shit.
I think I saw some of those. Nails I was at that trap art. That was the body art one where they were naked too, I think, and they were on the stage.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was downstairs with it, but
it was definitely two levels.
I purposely wanted nice fingernails, like manicured, fresh out the nail shop, fingernails with all the little extras. You feel me? And vagina, like females with nice nails. Masturbating, that's some sexy shit.
That's art.
That's art. You self-made. Like, you feel me? Making yourself do what you need to do. So all within that art show, I wanted to come so hard and so
different.
Because I'm a man. I'm not finna be painting no swipes. No.
Right, because it's a sex.
And I know that's what's going to be in there, because there's a lot of women that's going to be in that show. Art show.
Right, right.
So it's like the battle of the sexes.
But then at the same time, you had to do it in a provocative, sexy way. That was going to make it
provocative, sexy way.
Professional, right. That's what I mean.
Like, with that situation, I made it happen, and then, like, I had a whole lot of pimps hit me on Instagram.
They wanted some work done.
And like, nigga, you wrong.
They never thought of that. Right, they wanted, right.
How much you want, P? I'm like, nigga, I'll have 100.
Straight up. So my point is though, you created the sensation though. Yeah. You made that happen, and that was self-made.
It was a lot of women that sent out their emails. See, I didn't want it to be like send it to me on Instagram. So then this your coochie. Like, nah, I don't want that. Email it. You can even make a whole nother email.
Yeah, you can.
It might not anonymous. Even be, you know, it might right. Go. Because I was even on the totally porn anonymous. Site, like, you know,
right,
screenshotting
yeah.
shit, right. Painting for the shit.
That's right.
Now, I was happy that people were trusting me with some of their personal photos, so that's professional side of it. I'm a black man with tattoos from Oakland.
Like, send me your picture. Send me a twat.
It's not hard for me to sit over here and go get a female's phone number. I ain't no ugly nigga. You right. feel me? But when you're doing something that is so easy for motherfuckers to say sexual harassment, it's so easy for a motherfucker to throw a jacket on you as being a pedophile.
Or weirdo or some type of...
weirdo. And then, and look at the times that we live in.
For real.
Like, we got ushers.
That's a lot to
like
be asking.
People forget. We have ushers, R. Kelly's, and Michael Jackson's.
Bill Cosby's.
We're not
saying no opinions about
anybody.
We're not anybody.
Saying no opinions. It's
the time we're living in.
Are. And how they look at us, I don't want to be looked at like, oh, this nigga is sneaking on.
So you had to be mindful of that as you structured this.
Ask my sister.
This request.
Ask my baby mama. You feel me? Like, ask a couple of my baby mamas. You feel me? Like, four of them. So it's like, even with that, I don't want to misrepresent them the wrong way, bro.
Right.
Because it's like, damn, who was that? Your baby mama's coochie? Nah, I don't want, like, because it's open.
So you're doing this
professionally. We come from the smallest, biggest fucking city in America, United States, worldwide, everybody somewhere. It's one motherfucking everywhere I'm from over. Period. And they let that shit be known. I will not disrespect this city by being out of pocket on some rapist type shit, because there's so much other shit that I could be doing.
So
I always represent it right.
Mine, so you represent
myself.
Yeah, make sure you represent yourself.
And it's like, it's a fallback situation. I want my shit to be nice, classy, elegant. Even if it is coming from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got some shit I feel.
That's
like,
you. That's your mentality. Your perspective, your lifestyle is classy.
And it's just like, I want the people that will buy future art pieces or want to get pieces like that done. Like, it's levels to this art, bro. It's a whole lot. Cause it's a whole lot that comes with it. And then being mindful of the crowd and the entertainment side of art, you don't never want to be counted out. You feel me? So it's like being able to meet people on every level.
So what would you, you know, if there was anything in our like, you know, closing, and what would you say is like the one of the priority things that you could really close out saying, like, is something that people need to really, nowadays, talking about current time, like, you know, what's going on now that people need to grasp when it comes to talking about self-made? Like, what's something you want to lead them with, you know?
I would say peer circle. You have to get together with a group of individuals that want to see better. Period. Self-made doesn't just come from you. It comes from the environment that you're in.
I was waiting for you to say that.
It comes from the environment that you're in, bro. Like,
because they think it's all individual.
Like, everybody from Oakland doing something. I love every nigga from Oakland, bro. Even if they don't like me, even if the niggas don't like my artwork, even if they don't fuck with me because I fuck with other individuals. Nigga, you doing something, nigga. Like, a lot of people like to hate on niggas, bro. And I hate that shit. Like, I hate a nigga from hating on another nigga. And I don't, you can be one of my niggas I fuck with. I ain't fucking with you no more.
Because you're hating.
That's how passionate I am about it. I done been snitched on 3 times being to the pen, bro. I done heard niggas say shit about niggas that wasn't true because they wanted to fit in. You feel me?
Right.
Fit in conversations that don't got nothing to do with you. I done seen niggas get themselves stabbed over shit just trying to fit in. So the hate will cause you to be a whole different person. Niggas be groupies too.
Oh, for sure.
Just like,
that's a whole nother episode.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, people love to talk shit, bro. And I feel like the opportunities is given to those that's hustling, that's out here showing initiative, that's pushing a self-made mentality to be better. Because we all come from nothing, bro. I'm not, who am I to tell you that man ain't what he's supposed to be? Who am I to tell you that he don't deserve what he went through in life to get them achievements and trophies? You know what I mean? So,
no, that's real.
It's always about the environment. You got some hate niggas around you, you're going to become a hater. Or you're going to see how they hate and you're going to want to get away from that, and then they're going to want to kill you.
That's real.
So you got to be around some motherfuckers that's genuine. It ain't always going to necessarily be the people you grew up with. It could be the person that you didn't fuck with that seen you grow up. It could be the person that see the intuition that everybody has an opportunity. That intuition means, nigga, if you got the opportunity, you better take it. And if you take it, I want to fuck with you.
That's real.
If you don't take it, then nigga, I'll see you when I drive by you sitting on something nice.
So, for real, though.
It's just like time. It's a time and place for everything. I didn't get all the shit that I wanted in life because I was fucking up. You feel me? I was fucking up, going to jail. I was losing shit, clothes, cars, houses. I didn't have a house. I was out there at 24 years old. Didn't even know it. That's how hard we were scamming.
Wow.
Nigga bought a house and didn't even know. Who fucking with it? I'm doing shit, passing money over here, doing all right, bro, it's good. It's all my name. And the next day I know, looking up, we own houses, we got to sell shit, we got cars. It's like, don't nobody want to be moving so fast. And it ain't even like I'm trying to showboat it, a lifestyle, because you was doing shit to just
to do
scam my own house equity, take out 100 bands and shit like that. You feel me? But now I see a lot of this before the slider game and all this extra shit start getting blew out of proportion. You'll see people lose themselves in something that's a burnout effect. And then when it's time, everybody want to open up hair shops and boutiques and sell bundles and sell plates. And it's like, it's not a recession if you know how to keep your money in order. That's what self-made is about. Keeping yourself in order, bro. Checking yourself, the people around you, making sure you got a real environment of a community of people that want to be bosses. It's like getting out of school for the first time. You get out of school, you go to college, right? That summer, either you going to college, you getting prepared to go to college, or you getting high hitting comes.
That's right.
If I see you 5-6 times a week, bruh. Are you going? Oh, I'm on my way, bro. I'm finna go. I'm going to work. I gotta get ready for college, nigga. In August. This is all good, my nigga. I got ace for 30. Yeah, you gonna always have ace for 30.
Right.
Cause how many niggas you been buying ace from? For 30. Has your weed man moved out the hood?
Nah. But the same guy.
I bet you his weed man did.
Right. That's like,
it's a level to this shit.
That's like, I heard, you know, there's a saying, your boss will never pay you enough to live next door.
You know why? And that's the difference.
Some people don't understand that. Your boss will never pay you enough to live next door.
This is not running the business, it's numbers. Why would I pay you more than what I'm making? So why would I go give you the opportunity that I ain't getting?
Right.
And it's kind of selfish because I feel if I can't do it and you can, you go get that opportunity, my nigga. But don't get it fucked up. I'm telling you I want something in return. But I want you to be able to just give me what you're going to give me. You feel me?
I
want something in return for sure, right. But I want you to be like whatever you feel I deserve.
Player about it, yeah.
I don't give a fuck, nigga. It's always a finder fee.
That's real, though.
Period, man.
Business. And I respect that, though.
And it's business. It's just like...
Some people don't understand.
If I pull up and I say, look, bro, give me... I want my 30%. Just take care of me, my nigga. I got you. Because he may be able to be able to ball to be passed later.
Right.
That's what I expect, though. The ball to be passed later on. However that ball is formed is however it's formed. But it's just good favor always deserves another one because that's how you keep it passing. Like, I'm pretty sure you had a nigga pay your toll.
Yeah.
And what you do, pay the next person.
For sure.
And that's just how it goes. You feel me? Like, that's what business is about. That's what self-made is. Making sure you got a clean slate, you got a good environment, you got a good business plan, knowing who your consumers is, checking yourself, and not having the bad habits of the past affect your future. That's what that shit is all about, bro. You feel me? And just really, you know, being real with the order of who you are and where you come from.
Don't try to, like, detach from that because of whatever you're trying to become or to connect.
If you detach from it, they're gonna tell you. People love to tell you about yourself, but they don't ever want to tell you how good you are. You can post something right now on Instagram and say, if you had two things to tell me right now, what would you say? How many people really gonna comment?
Probably not a lot.
But the people that do comment are the people that you reach out to.
Yeah, those are the ones that really gonna got your back.
And then when you post up, I want woo 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 to meet me at this dinner tonight. I have something special involved. Envelopes involved. What's in the envelope?
Yeah.
Everybody should have left a comment.
That's real, though.
It's always that. I think about that type of shit.
That's real, though.
This is about making up for lost time. I can't make up for the prison time I lost, but I can make up for the opportunities that I lost. And they say opportunities don't come but once in a lifetime. No, they always come. It's just if you know how to realize and see them motherfuckers when they pull up.
That's real.
There's an opportunity in every person.
Every person.
The opportunity that presents you, because it's like, I met you, this is an opportunity.
That's right. We have built this relationship years ago.
So it's an opportunity. No matter how you look at it, other opportunities can be built from just even crossing paths.
Just an encounter.
That's all that shit be about, man. Being right with who you are. Can't be no nigga with a bad soul trying to do something that you're going to push off to people because you're pushing off a bad spirit. So it's just about really being self-organized, checking yourself. Then you'll be able to make the decisions to be self-made. Cause there ain't nowhere to go, literally, but up, bro.
That's right, man. That's right. And I just appreciate you sharing so much personal knowledge, experience, and really getting detailed and kind of painting that picture for people. You know, you're an artist, but just really, I'm being metaphoric. You painted a picture that was well placed, and I hope that everybody out there took some time to, you know, maybe take some notes, even just take some healthy information in and reflect and kind of really check themselves, because I know everybody, it's a popular term nowadays, being self-made. People want to feel that, you know, people want to be self-made. And I think it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing to be, you know. And bro was just saying, you know, like, it's really about taking that check, man. I want everybody to please send your comments, your feedback. I'm going to leave so much information about where to, you know, get more footage or information about, you know, my speaker today. And, you know, on this episode, we're going to definitely have all the apps y'all checking it out at. I appreciate y'all sending y'all questions. If y'all got comments on anything we left out today, anything we didn't say, anything you want us to touch on more.
If y'all want to buy some art.
Yeah, check out Splash Gang, man. Come holler at my boy.
Check me out, man.
And, you know, we gonna probably come spend some time with us again. I need to get some artwork, you know, put up on. I might have to get a caricature or something. I might have to see if we can do animation or something, too, because
I got somebody for you.
See, this is networking, man. It's positive, y'all. Fuck with your boy. I appreciate y'all time today. This is What It's Self. We was talking about self-made today, man. Check us out and just leave your feedback, man. We're going to holler at y'all. See you next week.